Please open your copy of God's Word to the 100th Psalm. At least on one occasion over these many years, I have brought this psalm to a Thanksgiving service. My heart was drawn to it again. One cannot drain it dry in a Thanksgiving meditation. So there's much more where this came from. But we come to Psalm 100. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, this psalm, some of which is echoed all the way back into Deuteronomy, and that has been sung by the people of God throughout the ages, and we still sing the old hundredths, and we lift up our praises using these words. They are deep and they are rich, and we ask that we will be granted valiant hearts because of the words that we read here, and that the exposition of the Word of God would enter way down deep into our souls, that we would be a grateful people. Hear us. May the Spirit of God attend this brief meditation. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in His name we pray. Amen. Please take your copy of God's Word and stand. Psalm 100, this is the Word of God, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. As mentioned in our prayer a moment ago, this psalm is well known to us, and you also will have noted that it is filled from beginning to end with praise. It's one of the homage psalms, Psalm 93 to 100, in which the kingly reign of our living God is exalted and held high. I will not attempt anything like exhaustion of this passage, but I want us to see two things. The first is this: the God we praise, as recognized by this psalm. And we see something of the God that we praise in a variety of ways, in a multifarious and beautiful and colorful way as we move through the psalm. And we recognize first that He is the God who reigns. After all, this is a homage psalm. It is about bowing the knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And had we time to read portions of Psalm 99, you find there the God who reigns. Had we time to go to Psalm 98, the God who will reign. And in Psalm 98, also the God who so reigns that even nature is called upon to praise Him. We begin, however, with a call in this 100th psalm to shout that goes far beyond the narrow confines of Israel, but includes ultimately all of the nations, not only Israel. The shout must extend as far as the curse is found. This shout of joy, this shout of the recognition of our redemption in Jesus. The shout of acclamation in this fallen world anticipates that renovation of the earth at the coming of Jesus Christ. Psalm 100 then actually anticipates Romans chapter 8 that speaks of creation itself longing for the return of Christ and the adoption of sons when Jesus comes again. And so He is the God who rules. He is the God who reigns. And in this day in which we live, when all around us seems so to be shaken by the sin and the revulsion of the things of God by our culture, is it not good for us on our Thanksgiving morning simply to pause and remember our God reigns? But also, as we think of the God we praise, He is our covenant God. Now, it is true that we do not find the word covenant that is often found in Scripture in this passage, but we do find the covenant name of God. The divine name Yahweh, which is God's covenant name, is used four times in the first stanza, as is also the name Elohim. Yahweh is peculiarly God's covenant name. These are the consonants for I am that I am, as found in Exodus chapter 3. And ultimately, we learn the meaning of Yahweh in the progress of redemptive history. What Yahweh means, it means the one true and living God who is triune. Yahweh means he is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. And this is the name of the God who makes covenant with his people, who is the friend of his people through the blood of atonement. The ultimate fulfillment of God's covenant purpose is seen in the cross of Christ. And this is the new covenant in my blood, of which the Lord Jesus spake just before going to the cross. And it extends this covenant in his blood and all of its blessing, extends all the way to the end of time, when the covenant formula that we see all through Scripture is used in the end of the book of Revelation. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. All of that is included in the covenant name of God and what he has promised to do for you who trust in his name. And at the end of the psalm, God's covenant faithfulness is stressed by the word chesed in this passage. For the Lord, that's his covenant name, is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The steadfast love of Yahweh, of the Lord, is God's covenant love. It means his covenant faithfulness, his fidelity to his word and to his people. And so much is involved, it is almost an untranslatable word. With us, there is motion and there is change and there is measurability and causality and limitation. Our breath is in our nostrils, but God's love is different. It participates in his everlasting being. His love is everlasting. His commitment does not change. The Lord pledges himself to us forever. So the praise that we offer, it's almost unbelievable, but it really is so. The praise that we offer is because the God of the universe is our God, because the God of the universe, who has no need of anything or anyone outside of himself, has made friends with us through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, because that's what his covenant means, his bond of friendship with his people. And this is anticipated in the covenant name, the blood of Christ that would be shed, which is the blood of the covenant. But also, as we think of the God whom we praise, he is the creator and the sustainer of his people. And as such, we praise him for his sovereign care. He has shown his care in forming us as his own people, and that's the meaning of verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, had we time, we would look at a variety of Old Testament passages that speak of God not only creating the heavens and the earth, but forming a people through his creative power. And that's what he references here in this passage. You see it also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for God, for good works. So you're a people that is formed for his name, formed by his power, formed by his covenant love, and we are his flock, special to him as our great and good shepherd. And as our covenant Lord, who is our shepherd, as we find in this psalm, we think of the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And that is the Lord who guides and protects and preserves. He is gentle. He is familiar with us. And should we not most of all think of those words, I am the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, when we think of that protecting rule and reign over our lives? But also, do note this, he is the God who may be known. Surely the word know in verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. The word know is not only that we know something about God, but his point is that we, his people, actually know God who knows us with sovereign love. And this is an ancient confession going all the way back to Deuteronomy, found in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, know that the Lord, he is God. It is something like our confessing the faith using the creed every Lord's Day. It is a confession that was passed down throughout ancient Israel. So he is unique, he is grand, he is incomparable, but we may know this God. We may know him, and we may know him through Christ Jesus our Lord. For Jesus in his high priestly prayer to the Father said in John 17, and this is eternal life, that they know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And can't you note here that there's certainty for us, that there is deep and lasting and abiding assurance? The psalmist does not begin with, let's postulate the possibility of God's existence. Let's suppose there were such a being as God. No, he says, know that the Lord, he is God. This is fundamental to all else, that unless you and I begin with the God who is, who has revealed himself and is knowable, unless you begin there, then you can know nothing rightly. And so on this Thanksgiving morning, I ask, do you know the God who in this psalm says, know the Lord, he is God? Because the only way in which we know him is through his revelation of himself through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom we call you by faith. And so this is the God whom we praise. But I told you there were two things. The second thing that we need to see in this psalm briefly this morning is the heart that praises this God. The heart that praises. You see praise all through the psalm, do you not? And of course, such a God as this, Yahweh, the covenant God, deserves our praise. The psalm begins with an imperative, a command, shout for joy. And to worship such a God must be out of a heart of joy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. We are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. We are to be filled with praise. What kind of heart, however, is the heart that praises God? Just look around you. Do all men praise God? Do we praise him as we should? What kind of heart praises God? Well, I want you to note the title of this psalm, a psalm for giving thanks. Now, that word thanks is the word toda, which also can mean thank offering. And probably here it means thank offering. When taken with verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, it probably means enter into the temple with your thank offering. When I think of this passage, I sometimes think, and on Thanksgiving, think of something that my pastor, Dr. James M. Baird, once said about a time when he was traveling in some very large city. He had to take a taxi, and the taxi driver struck up a conversation with Dr. Baird. He found out that he was a preacher. What kind of preacher are you? He wanted to know. And he said, well, may I talk with you? I know you've heard it all as a preacher, but maybe you've never heard this before. And Dr. Baird thought, right, yeah, I've heard it all, but let him go on with it. Well, Dr. Baird was not prepared for what he heard. The man said, I'm eaten up with ingratitude. I am eaten up with in gratitude. What a confession. What happens to the ungrateful heart? Three times in Romans 1, it speaks of the ungrateful heart. And God gave them over, and God gave them over, and God gave them over. Over to what? Over to his wrath. Over to their ungrateful hearts. Over to sexual confusion. And the list goes on there at the end of Romans chapter 1. In other words, people of God, the difference between a regenerate heart, a heart that has the new birth, one who really knows God, and a heart that is unregenerate, that does not know God, is a deep and abiding sense of gratitude to God as the source of all good, the source of redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you grateful today? So, what is the answer to this ingratitude? Well, again, I've pointed to the thank offering, which points to the Savior, which a thank offering was a form of the peace offering of which we read in Leviticus chapter 7, which shows that our salvation was dependent on the shed blood of Christ to which it pointed, and that we offer thanks through that redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. And the thank offering also, there was a meal in which they participated, showing that reconciliation to God means that we commune with him in his goodness. No wonder then, the psalm says, shout for joy, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. From where does this come? It comes from a heart once ungrateful, that now has become grateful through the Holy Spirit's application of the work of Christ to the heart. Grateful because our sins are now cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Who, knowing that the wrath of God has been carried by Christ in my place, can fail to be grateful to God? Are you grateful to God? As we read Pastor McDonald from that passage in Colossians this morning, are we grateful that he has made us fit to be inheritors of the saints in light through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ? Of all the things for which we're thankful, the thing for which we most should be thankful today is Jesus Christ came into this sinful world and shed his blood for us and redeemed us from our sins. Who, knowing the wrath of God and what it took, can fail to be grateful? Gratitude then shows. It can show in a changed countenance when we come to know the Lord. It can show by serving the Lord with zeal. It can show by serving others for the sake of Jesus Christ. But mostly, it is shown by heartfelt worship and adoration of the Lord our God. We want to come Lord's Day after Lord's Day, time and again, on a day like today, we want to come and say to the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, through my great thank offering who shed his blood for me. Thank you. And so do we bring offerings on a day like today? Do we bring offerings in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we bring offerings? Well, the Levitical system is finished in Christ. He said, it is finished. There is no more sacrifice, but there is one offering that we still bring, one sacrifice that is left to be offered. No, nothing that adds to the finished work of Christ. What then is that offering that you and I are still called to bring? The offering is written in Hebrews 13:15, through him, then let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Let us pray. Our Father, on this day, as we sing the next hymn, as we offer our thanksgiving for all sorts of things that ultimately are traceable to the atoning work of Jesus, Help us through him, through Jesus, to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips which acknowledge his name. We pray in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.